Welcome to a special edition of the USAS 8, a conversation about Army aviation safety.
I'm Major General Mac McCurry, Commanding General of the U.S. Army Aviation Center of Excellence in Fort Novosel and the 17th Aviation Branch Chief.
And I'm Brigadier General Jonathan Byram, Commanding General of the U.S. Army Combat Readiness Center.
Today, we'd like to spend some time talking to you about safety. Kind of a back brief of what we've seen and done over the last couple of years, including current trends and stats, causes, material solutions, and ultimately, what, as an Army, we're doing about it. Let's start with FY23.
So, sir, in FY23, we had a total of seven Class A mishaps prior to the stand down. And that put us at a 1.25 mishaps per 100,000 flight hours. After the mishap, we had two additional Class A mishaps, and that for a total of nine. And that period after the stand down was a 0.8 per 100,000 flight hour mishap rate. And that finished us out for the year at a 1.08 mishaps per 100,000 flight hours. And just to put that into context, that's a five-year average up to that point then of 0.85. So that was significantly higher than normal.
Thanks, John. And I think what we can glean from those stats is that the FY23 stand down had some effectiveness in the second half of that year in getting us back to a near normal range. As we executed that stand down, we focused on feedback from aviation units around the world. We asked them to provide that feedback through their divisions, corps, and ACOMs and ASCCs. When we looked at the causes of accidents leading to the FY23 stand down, based on the feedback from your units, what we saw was we had a known increase in task complexity that was based on aircraft flying closer to each other, aircraft flying closer to the terrain, and a more collective training environment. We also had a known risk reduction in aviation warrant officer experience and proficiency across the force. We also saw improper mitigation of risk decisions at the mission briefing officer and final mission approval level. And all of that led us to the conclusion that aviation units may be out-training their level of experience. So what did we do? At the Aviation Center, we reoriented our DES teams to assist CABs with training shortfalls. There's additional training windows that will be prioritized by HQDA G357. We also focused on aviation training risk reduction by implementing some maneuver constraints in the short term as we updated other collective maneuvers and rewrote our survivability manual. We updated the RCOP to account for compounding risk, multiple high-risk conditions, and how many of those can you legitimately mitigate. We drove a discussion with division and corps commanders, a commander's dialogue, so that in the different training environments, those division and corps commanders have the final say in the level of risk mitigation to be applied. We have other ongoing actions to assist, and we'll cover those in just a moment. But I think what General Byram came up with was this stand down was effective for the second half of FY23. Now, John, if we could, let's focus on FY24.
Yes, sir. So for FY24, so far through the end of May, we've had 13 Class A mishaps with a total of nine fatalities. What that puts us at is at a 2.2 mishap rate per 100,000 flight hours. And that compares against, up until that point, a 1.03 five-year average. So basically, we've had twice as many mishaps in FY24 than our normal average.
So based on those stats and talking with Army senior leaders, we wanted to execute another sort of safety awareness action. However, based on last year's conclusion of the loss of aviation experience across the force, we did not want to stop everyone across the world from flying. Instead, we outlined some training objectives that were to be completed over a period of time. These training objectives were focused on power management, specifically tail rotor authority and tail rotor effectiveness, emergency procedure training on all tail rotor malfunctions, a STACOM that talks about directional control margin and how that's to be briefed. We also asked units to focus on spatial disorientation and to review the implementation of the new mission approval risk management process in RCOP. We also threw in here a little bit of training for aviation maintainers. So what we're looking for as a result of the aviation stand-up this year is a similar reduction for the rest of the FY. Now, I think it's fair to say that the AH-64 community has certainly borne the brunt of mishaps this year. John, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, sir. In terms of the mishap rate, it has been three times higher this year than in past years, which is significant. And what we've seen, you know, as we've conducted various investigations, one of the areas that you've already mentioned in this podcast is that loss of tail rotor effectiveness or loss of tail rotor authority. And there's different approaches to this. And I think you've covered very well in the stand-up training focus areas, particularly in the training in how to react to a loss of tail rotor effectiveness in order to prevent that, and then how to keep yourself from getting into the various conditions that make you susceptible to that loss of tail rotor effectiveness. And then in my battlefield circulation, that is definitely what the senior aviators are coaching down to the lowest level in the force.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, as we have migrated to more dual engine aircraft over the years, we got very comfortable with the amount of power available in those aircraft. And with the Apache specifically, we have increased the power available as we went from the Alpha to the Delta to the Echo, but largely our powertrain from the transmission back remains similar. And so we've asked everyone now to focus again on those basics, those fundamentals of tail rotor effectiveness. Where are the winds? Are you above ETL or not? Is a turn you're going to make take you back below ETL and put you at risk? And what we're looking for from the aviators really is awareness and then decision making. It's fine to be aware, it's fine to know the conditions, but you have to make a decision not to go below ETL or to reorient your battle position or your OP. You know, as a former OH-58 Delta Kiowa Warrior pilot, there were many times on gunneries where we looked at the winds and we were unable to shoot that day because we had battle positions oriented downrange lanes that were not movable based on the winds. And so that's the kind of decision-making and awareness I think we're looking for from our aviators. In addition, as we look at hardware, you know, I signed a memo back in January to the Army G8 and to ASALT identifying the tail rotor drive system and blade as the number one modernization priority in this Apache portfolio. And we're having good effort, good effects with Army senior leaders on gaining resourcing for that. The last thing I would say to the force is the alcohol wipe test every day as a part of the daily inspections on AH-64s is critical. It's critical that your maintainers know how to do it, that your TIs know how to check it, and that it's non-negotiable. And John, I think you've said over time, as we look at safety, as we come together, we often tackle hard things and make good decisions. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that if you could.
Yes, sir. And really just to highlight to the force, looking at our history, the power of a community coming together. In the 15 to 19 timeframe, the CRC did some analysis of those years and they determined that in the aviation community, that there was a spike in the fourth quarter of mishaps. So they made this aware to the aviation leadership and the senior leadership of the Army, who then came together with a holistic plan at echelon to address this fourth quarter spike. The result of this was that it virtually eliminated that fourth quarter spike. And I think that's important as we, you know, have had a couple challenging years in aviation, that we realize that when the community comes together, you actually can achieve results and improve in the areas where you need to effectively.
Thanks for giving us that insight to how the stats have resulted after we took significant action. You know, the experience loss across the force is not just restricted to Army aviators. It also applies to our maintainers. And many of our maintainers who were in the Army in the last 10 years were really cheated out of some sets and reps as we dealt with force management levels towards the tail end of the heel-to-toe rotations in Iraq and Afghanistan. We deployed aviation formations and used contract maintenance, and some of those soldiers did not get the sets and reps on each individual maintenance task that they should have gotten. This is really what led us to the Aviation Maintenance Training Program, to have a program like Aircruise where we can track the proficiency and the sets and reps of our maintainers on each of these tasks. The long-term goal is that you can always pick the best maintainer for the task, especially if going on a short-notice deployment or a contingency mission. The aviation branch right now is experimenting with an automated tracking system so that we take the burden off those NCOs from having to do the stubby pencil work to do this tracking. This is just one example of what we're doing to help, and I'd like to turn it over to General Byram to talk about some of the things that the CRC is doing to get the word out.
Sir, I think there's two areas I'd like to highlight. Number one is we're listening to the aviators in the force on the results from the stand-up. One of those areas that they highlighted is they would like to receive the mishap outbrief information sooner rather than later. So following mishap investigation outbriefs to the senior leaders, we're then going to provide these to aviators at echelon, not just leaders, but down to the lowest level through SVTCs, where we'll do those mishap outbriefs. And included in those will be the vignettes, where we include the audio and visual, which is a great learning tool for those pilots who are on the stick every day. I think it allows them to learn quickly and learn from those mishaps rather than waiting 6 to 12 months for that. So that is a new thing we're going to be doing. Number two is we have safety assistant visits that we offer to the force. What this is we send investigators who are experts in these various mishaps, and they can come to any unit within the force, and all you have to do is ask, and they will talk through all these vignettes, they will go through them, and we will tailor those visits to whatever the commanders would like based on what their units have coming up. Those SAVs, we pay for them, so all you have to do is ask. And last year we did over 50, and this year we're scheduled to do over 50 as well. And then the other thing we can provide is a host of resources at the website, which I think many folks have not been to. I encourage you to go to army.safety.mil and check out that resource. It truly is incredible and one of the best websites that I think the Army offers.
Thanks, John. And personally, thanks for being a great teammate with the CRC and the Aviation Center working together on these issues. I've never seen the relationship so tight, and I attribute that to your personal leadership. You know, DES is teaming up on these kind of these open mic sessions and listening in, and then we've also opened up additional training opportunities. I mentioned them earlier in the podcast that you can request through your ACOM to HQDA 357 to have DES come out and assist you with some of the training. This is our realization that we're short IPs and MTPs across the force, and we want to help here from the Aviation Center. Lastly, to all of our Army aviation professionals out there, no compromise on standards. Maintain your standards every day, whether it's uniform standards, discipline standards, military courtesy, or flight standards, we have no compromise. Also, train, fly, and fix every day. If there's things you're doing in your aviation formation that are distracting you from training, flying, and fixing, then that's a conversation for commander to commander. And last, execute every aviation training event as a live fire. Specifically, take a look at assessment and retraining. Even though we've executed a training mission before, did we do it to standard? And if not, let's make it so. Team, it's been my great honor to be the 17th Aviation Branch Chief. I'm proud to stand alongside each one of you in the phalanx defending our nation. Above the best, fly Army.